Big tax code changes coming soon. Hey everyone, Adam Bergman here, tax attorney and founder of Byright Financial. On today's Adam Talks, I'm going to explain why one more year or so left before some major tax code changes could cause you and your family significant tax liability. And I'm talking about the sunsetting of some of the 2017 tax provisions that came from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from President Trump. It's hard to believe that was 2017. But there are some important provisions that I'm going to talk about that are set to sunset or expire at the end of 25. And yeah, I know we're only in 24, but thought it is good to at least start thinking about it. Now, let me just preface what I'm about to discuss and let you all know that no one knows what's going to happen, right? A lot could happen between now and the end of 25. Obviously, there's going to be an election coming the end of 24. We'll see who's in office. Also matters who's in Congress, who controls Congress. So there's a lot that will be settled in the future. There's a very good chance, you know, these provisions get pushed forward and the sunset gets delayed, or maybe some gets sunsetted and some doesn't. But I wanted to go through some of the key provisions from the 2017 tax cut from President Trump and what provisions that we've all got accustomed to and used to could expire next year. So just some figures here. The Congressional Budget Office, they estimate that the extensions of all provisions that are scheduled to expire would cost $3.5 trillion in 2033. So if they allow these provisions to continue without a sunset, by 2033, it would cost an extra $3.5 trillion. So again, it's uncertain what's going to happen. No one's going to know until mid-2025. But let's go through the key provisions that are set to sunset. So the first are marginal tax rates, right? One of the key of the Trump tax cuts was the highest rate will drop from 39.6 to 37. But there were also a lot of tax brackets that were dropped. So it's going to keep, it kept seven income tax brackets, but the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, it essentially moved the top tax rates down. With the exceptions of those who were at 10% or less, the marginal tax rates went down based off the tax cut. So that is set to expire at the end of 25. And then the old tax rates that were revised based off the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act will come back to life, which obviously, according to the research I did, the bracket backslides will mean that every American will need to reassess their spending and tax returns to pay 1 to 4% more in personal taxes. So if these marginal tax rates go back to pre-Trump tax cuts, on average, 1 to 4% more, excuse me, in tax that we're going to have to pay. See, I'm sneezing, just thinking about paying more taxes. The second is standard deduction. For 2024, taxpayers can deduct $14,600 if they're single, $29,200 if they're married, filed jointly. But 90% of taxpayers use standard deduction. Before the Trump tax cuts, the standard deduction was $6,500 and $13,000 if you're married, filed jointly. In 2026, the standard deduction would go back to those levels. Now, what the Trump tax cuts did, and a lot of people benefited from this, is it made tax filing much easier, right? Because 90% of taxpayers just take the standard deduction. Prior, more and more people were itemizing, whether it was medical or charity or the like. There was more opportunities to itemize, which created more, complexity and more difficulty, more cost for filing a tax return. What the Trump tax cuts did is it simplified it, gave everyone a bigger standard deduction. And 90% of Americans took it. I think that's going to stay, to be honest. I think that's helped a lot of Americans just get their taxes done easier, quickly, less pain. So I think that's going to stick around. Child tax credit. it's $2,000 per child for those who qualify. If you have someone under, a kid under 18, it's scheduled to go back 2026 to 1,000. I think that's going to continue at 2,000. I think there's a social need and public policy interest to have families have more kids. So I think they want to incentivize us to reproduce. And I think the tax credit will just kind of stick around. This business pass-through deduction, I remember there was a lot of chatter. I remember doing a Forbes article on this. Basically, under the Trump tax plan, there was a deduction of 20% of the qualified income from pass-through income. I think that this probably would go away. If any provision sunsetted, I think this would. This caused a lot of controversy because people thought that there was going to be, you know, passive investors like real estate investors, certain other investors would benefit from this 20% deduction. So if one of these provisions would go away, I think it would probably be this one. I think the child tax credit stays. I think the standard deduction stays. I think the marginal tax rates probably will stay. It's never a popular move to raise taxes. And the Trump tax rates, you only move the number down marginally, very, very slightly. So I think those probably stay in any event. Alternative minimum tax, which was always kind of super controversial to a lot of taxpayers. Based off the new rules, only 0.1% of households now pay it. Before, about 3.7% paid it. I think people are done with the AMT. I don't think this comes back. I think that the rules on the AMT stays, and it's too complex anyways. And there's other ways to make sure folks are paying taxes. So I actually think this is going to be gone for good. And the 2017 tax cuts would that minimize the AMT, I think those stay. This is a biggie now, the estate and gift tax. This is a biggie. Currently, under 2024, if you have an estate of $13.6 million or more, that's the unified credit, you would pay federal estate taxes. Now, states have different threshold, income threshold for estates, but from a federal estate and gift tax standpoint, you have a $13.6 million unified credit. If the Trump tax cuts were sunsetted and we went back to what it was, we would go back to approximately $5 million, right? So it doubled the estate and gift tax. It was from 5.49, it doubled it to 11.18. And then for inflation now, we're up to 13.6. It was 12.92 in 2023. So if this provision sunset, it would go back to approximately 5.4 million, which is big, right? It includes anything in your estate, your home, retirement accounts, any assets. And with inflation, you know, more and more folks have an estate of larger than 5.4 million subject to inflation. So it would potentially be higher, but the number now, the 13.6 million, that means, you know, most Americans aren't paying estate tax. You also can use that unified credit during your lifetime. So you can make gifts technically of 13.6 million. If you're married, it's 13.6 times two. So 27.2 million, which, you know, not many people have more than 27 million in an estate, married filed jointly. So the estate and gift tax today is not a big issue. If it was 5.49 million, like it was in 2017, it will be and would be a big issue, which would create a lot more work for trust and estates lawyers who probably are silently betting for it to go down. That's just going to mean they're going to get extra busy with folks trying to do estate planning, gift tax planning to get around the exemption. What a lot of people have done is they put their business interests or assets into irrevocable trusts like SLATs as a way to get it out of your estate. Retirement accounts are in your estate. So if you have a Roth IRA with 10 million bucks, you can't get that out of your estate. The only way to get it out of your estate, I guess, is take it while you're alive and gift it away if you have a high unified credit. But if it's in your estate, a Roth IRA is in your estate, you can get it out of the Roth IRA and put it into an irrevocable trust and get it out. But if you want to keep it in a Roth IRA, it's going to be part of your estate. Now, at 13.6 million bucks, not many people care about it. At five and a half million, bigger issue, right? Especially with home appreciation and asset appreciation. There's obviously a bigger chunk of Americans today that have an estate worth around 5.5 million than there was in 2016 or 2017. The one deduction that I think a lot of people in New York or California would love to come back is the deduction for state and local taxes. The 2017 tax cuts, which a lot of people thought this was Trump's way of sticking it to New York and California, to, you know, Democratic states that were never very, very interested in helping Trump out, especially their attorney generals and the local state politicians. He basically did this. He limited the state and local tax deductions to be used on your federal return. Before 2017, it was unlimited. Now it's $10,000 if you're married, $5,000 single. Meaning if you live in New York State or California, where there's very high state and local taxes, and you are a decently high income earner, $10,000 if you're married, filed jointly, is not that much. Whereas before, people were deducting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in state taxes and offsetting federal income. He limited it, which helped pay for a lot of other provisions in the Jobs Tax Cut Jobs Act from 2017. But it also was like a big, F you to California or New York, excuse my French. So we'll see. There's actually a lot of people that would love for this to be, you know, sunsetted and come back as an unlimited deduction. You know, we'll see what happens. Interesting note, the corporate tax rate, which was reduced from 35 to 21%, that is not set to expire in 2025. So that is still going to go on. Either, no matter what happens, it will not sunset in 2025. Okay. So that's interesting. But the sunset for the state and local deduction, that would happen for the $10,000 or $5,000. So that's something that there will be chatter about that, depending on who wins the election in 2024. I can see if there's Democrats in office, I can see that limitation as a thank you to California and New York, that deduction limitation will probably be lifted, but we'll see. So what's gonna happen? I don't know, right? This is, we're way, way early. This is like inning two in a 9-inning game. This is just an FYI. I wanted to get this out there because I'll probably be doing a lot more podcasts and videos about sunset provisions in the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act. Obviously, the marginal tax rate's big. The standard deductions also large. And the state and local tax deduction. Those are the three big provisions that people are going to be focused on. And obviously the estate and gift tax, right? Those four. I shouldn't forget the estate and gift tax, because if there is a chance, and I think there is a good chance, if the Democrats win, I remember with 2021 and the Build Back Better bill with Biden, here's my bet. If Biden wins the election, I think there's a strong chance the estate and gift tax comes down. I think the tax rates stay low. I don't know if he's going to mess with that. I think the standard deduction also stays because it's actually worked and simplified. I think the 20% pass-through deduction goes away. I think the child tax credit stays. I think the AMT probably stays. No one really cares about it. But the big thing, I think, is they would reduce the estate and gift tax back down, maybe not to 5, but maybe, you know, 7 or 8. And I think the 20% pass-through deduction goes away, and then they're going to probably bring back the no limitation on state and local tax deductions. They're just going to need to figure out a way to pay through that. And that's why they're going to reduce the estate and gift tax, take away the 20% pass-through deduction. So that's my bet. To be continued. No one knows. It's an election year. No one's going to be talking about raising tax rates. But even Biden, if he wins, because the Trump tax rate only slightly reduced individual tax rates, I don't know if there's enough wiggle room for him to do anything to elevate it, although he may just, as kind of a symbol, increase the highest tax rate back to 39.6 from 37. But I think the middle rates kind of stay low. He's always been focused on anyone that makes less than 250K or 400K is not going to see any more taxes. So I think he'll stay on that platform. But, you know, it's interesting. It's going to be fun election year. We'll see how tax policy plays out. But the big things I'd be looking at is the estate and gift tax. That is potentially on the chopping blocks, as well as the 20% pass-through deduction, which is not as controversial just because most people don't understand it. The estate and gift tax, everyone gets, everyone's going to die. And some people care about that more than others. But trust me, if that's reduced from the 13 or so now to 5 or 6, you know, middle-class folks are going to care about that. Because even if you're in your 50s, you know, in a state of 3, 3.5, assets appreciate, and you're thinking about, hey, the future, where is my estate going to be worth in the next 5, 10, 15 years? And from an asset growth standpoint, rule 72, your assets are going to grow, you know, every 9 years, are going to double. So assuming an 8% rate of return. So I think people kind of see that, understand it. So anyways, hope you guys enjoy the podcast. This is something, again, don't lose sleep on this. This is just big changes could be coming. If I said that in the subject, maybe you wouldn't listen to it or watch it. So I had to make the subject a little bit more exciting, but to be continued. And I'll make sure I'll keep you guys up to date if anything progresses or if there's any more chatter about it. But thanks again for hanging out. If you have questions or comments, obviously please leave them. If you enjoyed the podcast, thank you. Please give it a good review or rating. That also obviously will help boost it and allow more people to listen to it and find it on Apple or Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. Have a great day. And I'll speak to everyone again next week. Take care.